Episode 2, A1 in the A10 here. We got your favorite five guys from South Point Village. Sean here, alongside me, Matt Courtney. In front of me, Matt Feinauer, who will be referred to as just Feinauer for the sake of less confusion during this podcast. To my diagonal, we've got Nick Peel. To my right side, we've got Justin Gore. Another episode of A1 in the A10. It's going to be a very good night for talking. So, Labor Day weekend just passed us, and I know a few of us were busy being out of state. The rest of us kind of just trolled around the old mitten like losers. How was the old Labor Day weekend for everybody?
Not too bad. No good. Complaints. Got to go to Chi-Town, yo, get some pizza, go to a baseball game.
Not too bad. Not too bad. I know another one of our chief resident broadcasters on this old podcast network was in Chi-Town as well, Mr. Justin Gore.
Hello, everyone. I'm a ranch addict.
Yeah. No, seriously, Gore is sitting here in front of the living room table right now with an entire plate of ranch and an entire pan of pizza rolls.
College, man.
Yeah. That's it in its finest form. So Labor Day weekend.
What did you up to, Sean? What did you do?
Labor Day weekend, I went back to the old Bednar abode. I actually made my trip back home Friday night at 1 a.m. Decided to take the old 75 to avoid the traffic of either Saturday morning or Friday night. And nice night drive. Went to the old Sam's Club with the family. Found out about my dad's apparent sniffing addiction to one airplane glue.
Oh, good. He came home.
Yeah. Yes. Believe it or not, after all those years of going for cigarettes, my dad has finally came home.
Dad.
But it was nice being home. We were able to get...
Dad.
We were able to get many, many things. We got 3 pounds of corn dogs, 5 pounds of bread, 3 pounds of gluten-free tortilla chips. So that's kind of a swing and a miss, but we'll make the most of it.
Gluten-free.
Did you know when you bought them?
No, of course not. I mean, I'm not one of those people who's like, you know, I'm a vegan.
Are on-the-border chips just regularly gluten-free? Or did you buy specifically gluten-free chips and screw us over?
Wow. That's harsh.
I'm sorry. But if you came in with corn dogs, so it evens out.
If we check the bag that you brought of On the Border chips, or really any bag of On the Border chips, we might be able to figure it out. Now, one of the reasons that it might be so bland or just different tasting is because it's in such bulk variety.
True. That is true. Yeah. We didn't stop to consider that.
Different perspective, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry I got so angry.
Hey, it's okay. When it's tortilla chips, you got to be 100% committed.
Also, when you bought all this, were you with your parents when you
bought
it?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, then, thank you,
yes,
Bednar.
The Bednar parents. Family always coming in clutch.
A lot of passion behind corn chips today, guys.
I didn't mean to hate on the chips. There's 3 pounds of it. We're going to eat all of it.
We'll just have to see if we get into the bread at all. We still have the bread that I initially
brought
up.
No, we have so much bread.
We can make just toast
for every meal, every day. I've only made one sandwich since we've been here.
I should be making more sandwiches than me.
Shout out to Ed and Eddie.
That's my horse.
Is that a copyright issue?
I think we're good. It's Creative Commons, so we're good.
Go.
We gave credit. So one of the things that I was thinking about at the end of last week's podcast, it was actually something that I saw right on Twitter after we had gotten done talking, and it's been a while since we've actually delved into this kind of topic. Mario Kart. It's something that we've talked about before. We've talked about Nick's fantasticness at it. But the question was raised. It wasn't really a question. It was more of a statement saying, green shells are the most useless thing on Mario Kart. And I thought about that, and I said, that's
true.
Completely wrong.
Not true.
And I wanted to raise the question to you guys. Well, we're going to use this in the reference to Mario Kart Double Dash only. What is the most useless item in Mario Kart?
Banana.
I don't think so.
It
you can
banana.
Use it to block red shells.
Mystery box.
It is banana.
See, mystery box
mystery
is what
box,
I was thinking.
Yeah.
Thinking.
No, because if you place a mystery box correctly, it can really fuck someone over.
Yeah,
but
you're really, really heavy dependent on actually placing
that's the
it
only
correctly.
Thing it can be used correctly for.
I mean, if you're just cruising down the road, you see a random box, not next to any other box, you're like, obviously I'm not going to run into that.
If you can get them to hit that box, it slows them down so much more than them spinning off a banana peel. You really don't slow down all that much.
You just have to think about the tangibles, though. Because, I mean, the green shell can be used as a weapon or defense. The banana, weapon or defense. Mystery box is strictly just kind of an offensive.
Well, what about the lightning strike? I mean, I've never been in a position where I've been on the defensive from a lightning strike,
to say the least.
But I mean, you know, I love dishing them out, but I've never really received one. What was it like?
Oh, no, it sucks. I mean, being tiny and getting run over by somebody larger than you, yeah. Terrible.
Especially when you have a great item.
You go so slow, and, yeah, you lose your items that you got.
Especially when you're finally in first place, yeah. And you're about 100 feet from the finish line, and someone decides to use a lightning strike, and then hit you with a red shell, and then you get last place.
And then when you're co-oping, and everyone can see everyone's screen, and yeah. They just wait for you to go over that jump.
See, this room is so petty when it comes to Mario Kart, because you look on the screen, you're like, oh, Matt's got a blue shell. That's going to screw us over for the rest of the time.
We're just a bunch of screen lookers.
It's terrible. Because you'll see in the bottom left corner or something, and you'll say, oh, great, lightning bolt. Oh, second place, final lap. Matt won. And you'll just accept it. It's already over by the time the second lap starts.
Driving off.
Yeah. Then you just hope Nick comes up with a lightning bolt or something to just screw everybody over.
It'll happen. Exactly. It'll happen.
Yeah.
Wild card.
The wild card has definitely been a coined phrase in the A10.
I'd also like to point out on Mario Kart, so when we first played with Nick, we realized it at about the second game, he had a lightning bolt, and we're like,
just didn't know how to use it.
Like, Nick, use it. He's like, okay, what button? So we told him, and I was like, Nick, we did a whole race before this. Did you not know how to use items that whole time?
You were lucky that I'm moving forward. Really.
Gore, how are you?
Yeah, we haven't really heard from him.
Not a single word has been spoken.
He said a few things. He's been delving into his pan.
He's
knee
deep into ranch dressing right now.
What do you mean his plate of ranch?
My stomach is turning. Ranch, man.
For those of you out there that don't eat pizza rolls with ranch, or eat, I feel bad for you. I would like to donate a bag of pizza rolls.
Yeah, right. You're going to hold on to that heavily. Wait, are those the same pizza rolls that had the hole in the bag?
No.
Okay.
I had more than one bag.
Okay.
Good. Either there's a rat in there or you're missing a pizza roll. I'd rather have it be the rat.
I'm actually going to get to that topic that I just brought up later because I think that's got to be one of the marquee things. But one of the things that we were talking about right before the podcast started, I was looking at Matt, and he was looking at his phone, and... Yeah, he knew this was coming. And I've been thinking about this one for a long time, actually. I don't think there's anything more awkward than when you look at your phone when you're trying to take a Snapchat and you're in a group of people and you accidentally make eye contact with somebody or somebody just happens to look over.
See, and there's no real, like, discreet way to do it, especially if you're Snapchatting somebody who...
You want to make it a good Snapchat
for. You want to look presentable because you're not going to just like hide it in the corner and get,
or just
like,
a picture of a wall.
Your five chins in there and just be like, hey. I think you got to like bring it up, make it look good.
Maybe a little smile.
Right, absolutely. And then everybody just looks at you like,
oh.
Yeah, I think it matters how you play it off though.
See, I'm one of those people who if I get caught, I just do the stare down. Like, I'm just staring at them the entire time and hope that they look away first so I can go right back to the phone.
Yes, I win. Little successes, guys.
See, no, I get the feeling of defeat inside, and I just kind of, like, cringe. And I'm like, oh, God, now everybody knows I'm Snapchatting.
I'm so self-conscious.
So how do you recommend playing it off, Nick?
Me personally, I don't really care.
As the expert Snapchat.
I don't care, really. So, I mean, okay. If somebody looks at me, I mean, like Sean said, I mean, you're staring at them, but, you know, it is what it is. If they look, they want to be in my story.
I mean, that's fair. And I guess on the bright side, if, you know, you lock eyes with somebody while you're Snapchatting, they have to assume that you're actually talking to somebody, which means that you have a friend.
That's
and
big.
I wish I had one of those.
That's big.
Okay.
See, so
you just gave me my topic that I want to do. It's very key on friends.
Oh, God.
I'll bring it up whenever it gets to me.
Oh,
I mean, the table is always open.
All right, bring it.
Hit us with
it's
this.
It's been
while you plug in the phone.
Okay, this is half about video games and half about friends.
So just college dudes.
Games nowadays, all of them, you need friends to have fun in, it seems like. And I don't have enough. It just makes me sad because I don't have enough friends.
Or, I've noticed this in the next-gen console kind of craze. If you don't have the internet, you can't play. And that's terrible.
It's true. Like, even single-player games, for some reason, it's like, can't play if you don't have an internet connection. It's like, why?
For Battlefront, do you need the internet to play?
Yes.
Okay. See, that's what I thought. And that's awful to me.
Yeah, Battlefront, you know, I just want to play some Star Wars. I have no choice other than to connect to the internet, pay the $50 for... PlayStation Network for the year, or I could do $20 monthly, but that doesn't make
awful.
Sense.
Yeah. Do that, Matt.
Like, Battlefront 2 single player was awesome. I wish they could have done that again. It was great.
Absolutely.
I loved it.
You know, even the Revenge of the Sith game, which, I mean...
Oh, was awful.
Yeah.
No,
it was polarizing.
So
it
was
you either
great.
Loved it or you hated it.
Really?
Really?
I loved
I didn't
the story
hate it.
Mode.
I just
I thought
like,
it was
it's
fantastic.
Not great, but anyway.
I genuinely enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a good game. It had a lot of upside to it.
But, like, do you guys know what I mean? Like, there's just so many games where it's like you need... Usually it's like four, but sometimes like five friends. There
right.
has to be a group of four or five. And it's like you don't want to do the random searches because you don't want to play with four people you don't know. It just sucks, and I hate it, and I can't find any games to play.
Call of Duty sucks. Call of Duty is going to be the worst game that for me. Ever since Call of Duty 4, it just progressively gets worse, and they just put less effort in the game.
See, that's actually a very popular opinion.
My personal favorite was Black Ops, just because I think it was the one that I wasted most of my life playing.
I played so much zombies on the first Black Ops, it was ridiculous.
My freshman year of high school would come home, log on, and I had a crew that I ran with, and we would all just... get on and
my
play. Yeah, it was nice having friends back in the day.
I couldn't say anything about that. I've never known that.
No, but you'd get on and it would be like you'd just play until everybody went to bed. It was so much fun.
Or someone's mom comes downstairs into the room like, "Hey, it's like 2 a.m. You gotta go to bed." Been there, by the way.
No, we had the same. I had the same thing. We had like six of us maybe, and it would just be fun because.
Yeah.
Since we all took it way too seriously, we were good.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's back when I took video games way too seriously. I'd actually rage quit. It was
a
real thing.
What is too seriously with playing video games?
If you're turning it off literally because you're mad at it...
You are physically
That's us with Chell so often.
Oh, my God.
It's bad. Like, we won't talk to each other for hours on end because it'll get so bad.
If you have to mute your mic because you're having, like, a mental breakdown... And you're just like swearing up a storm.
If you don't have a mic,
it too seriously.
Out of
have you ever done that, Fine Hour?
Done that?
I have had to mute my mic before because I just wanted to like be angry for a second.
If
no
you've
one
ever
hear
lost
me.
Friends over Xbox,
that's
when you know you're too serious of a gamer.
Gore, do you have any stories that specifically pertain to that situation?
You jumped right in on that.
Yeah,
one.
Like pizza rolls down and everything. Or ranch rolls.
I actually put the pizza rolls on my lap.
You're almost out of ranch, by the way.
Yeah, you might have to go get a refill.
How?
Get the plug.
What the
hell?
He
dumped about like 16 ounces.
He was really just trying
to
prove me
wrong.
Shout
out to Hidden Valley.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hidden Valley's all we eat.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm going to owe Gore $5.
Oh, shit!
Oh, my God!
Correct!
Oh. All right,
there's
so
a flag on there.
Little bit of context. We're watching the Florida State Ole Miss game right now, and some dude just got his bell absolutely wrong.
Did he call a fair catch? Is that what the flag is?
They threw a flag.
Is there a
yeah.
flag?
Yeah,
they threw a flag.
Okay. Caption, he got creamed.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Nothing. That's just it. Just plaster that, put it in your sports bar in Ole Miss. Whatever.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez. Poor guy.
So
anyway.
That changed the dynamic of everything.
Anyway, by the time this is out, you've probably seen the game by now.
Yeah.
But you'll know what we're talking. No, yeah, no, that's clean.
Yeah.
He just missed it and then got destroyed.
That's insult on injury. You're losing after you had such a huge lead. And I actually mentioned to you guys earlier that Notre Dame-Texas game. Notre Dame was down 17, brought it back to overtime. Anything can happen in college football, especially week one.
It's true. Hawaii could have came back from
it was close.
63-3.
At one point, the score was tied. I will say that much.
Yeah, that's true.
It was.
It was a one-possession game for a while there.
Yeah. had to be.
Yeah.
Hawaii
really a choice.
Hawaii looked good coming out of the locker room. I will say that.
The uniforms? Clean.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say.
Speaking of NHL,
uh-oh.
We always
Wait,
played
what?
The...
Oh.
We brought it up.
Okay.
Me and Matt. My club, bunch of kids on my team, and one of our assistant coaches, actually. And it got so bad... that we literally, me and my friend Trey and my coach Mike, we didn't talk for a good 3 days of practice because we were in such an argument of who was better at the game.
Really. Wow.
Who was better at the
game?
Just
spot on.
There was no communication between us.
Okay, so how did you do it for Chell games? Was it suicides or?
It was the club where you play on the same team. So you're like a my player type thing.
Oh,
so
okay.
We would all be the forwards, and we would play. But then when we lose, it always had to be someone's fault. And that's where it got bad. Because at first when you play the game and you're in like Division 10, you're beating people, everything is good. You get to the higher divisions, you play better people, and you lose. Whose fault is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's always got to be someone's fault.
Of course.
I don't know. Sean and I.
Intense rivalries.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we're best friends at the end of the day, and we always love each other. But there's been times when we have gone extensive amounts of time without speaking based on Chell performances.
Yeah, see, we have a bad problem with the fact that we are so similar and so alike.
So when it comes to egos.
Oh, my God. We may have an incredible issue with that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it ends up working itself out, so.
Somehow.
Because we get sad because we're like,
oh, I miss you. Yeah. But, I mean, there's been some times where we have our own custom team. So we do occasionally play on the same team as each other, but we always do it.
Shaw DeFon's hockey bags.
Yep, and the Houston Misfits. So for these Chell tournaments is really what they were between me and Matt. It would always be a 7-game suicide kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes you're getting, oh, fantastic NHL teams. And then sometimes you're going to get those junior teams, those foreign teams, the Japans of the world.
Yeah, and you didn't have a choice. I mean, there was – but just because, you know, you may have gotten a stellar team going up against some scrub –
yeah, the doesn't NHL All-Star team doesn't always work out for
No, not at all.
I don't remember who this series was exactly, but I think I was some junior league team going up against you at NHL Blue. Mm-hmm. And it was one heck of a series. It was legitimately a fun one.
It was very frustrating on my part, because here I am.
Yeah, you got Chara, you got Dats, you got the best in the world.
I'm running with an All-Star team, and I'm getting beat by a bunch of scrubs.
Who are these guys?
I'm sitting here questioning, like, why am I even playing this game?
I can't pronounce his last name. What country is he from? Yeah. So, it's phenomenal, and it's actually kind of crazy. We haven't played a single game of Chell up here yet, but I've been having so much fun watching you kick the crap out of Feinauer and Madden. And I gotta say, after the mad game that Feinauer was talking, when it comes to being the undisputed champ of the A-10 for Madden, I don't think you've won a game ever since making that claim.
Actually, here's the thing. What me and Matt do is switch who wins 2 games in a row. I don't know why you're only here for Matt's 2, but we've each won like 6 or 8.
Yeah, played a lot of games. And, I mean, save that last game that it was, what, our 5th game of the day.
It was getting stressful.
It was just like,
it was hard. Just look at the screen anymore.
Right, so, you know, I ended up conceding defeat. I don't know, was it even halftime yet?
It might have
been. But either way, like, you know, we started the day, and, yeah, I ended up being the Seahawks, so I'm sitting here like, oh, I've got this. Or no,
You were the Panthers.
It was the Panthers, and I'm like, all right, I'm good. And he gets the Bengals, and I'm like, all right, this is going to be great. Nope. Nope, for whatever reason, couldn't get anything done.
That's what you meant when you said, oh, yeah, Bengals apparently my best team earlier.
Yeah, well, I think there's something wrong with the Panthers' defense in that game or something. Because I was like, God, AJ Green, I know he's good, but, like, he beats the corner every time. And then I got the Panthers, and I was super excited. And then
the Buffalo Bills, baby.
Rex Ryan!
I couldn't stop. Like, if he went deep, I was done. It's like something about the Panthers' DBs, they can't keep up with receivers in that game. I don't know what it is.
For you fantasy folk, Tyrod Taylor to Sammy Watkins is going to be electric.
All I got to say, I love the Bills because I love Rex Ryan because, one, he is a phenomenal personality. He has a tattoo of the Jets still that he changed right over to a Buffalo Bills jersey on his wife. And it's such a fantastically bad but good tattoo, and he completely owns it, and that's the best part.
What about Rob Ryan, though?
Rob Ryan is a force of another world.
Don't you just want to run your fingers through his hair?
You know, it's weird because, like, him himself, I don't mean anything against him. Obviously, he's going to be listening to the podcast later.
Yeah, obviously,
he doesn't seem like the most hygienically clean person in the world, but his hair always looks like it's just perfectly silky smooth, and not like a greasy silk.
Conditioned.
Like, he's taking care of it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know. I really can appreciate when you can get Flo, as it is affectionately or not so affectionately called, if you can accomplish that, you have nothing but respect in my book.
Rob Ryan, fan of the show.
Huge fan.
Big fan. He might call in one day.
Yeah.
Big fan.
On our not live show.
Yet. Yes. We've got big plans for the show going forward.
We're already on iTunes.
Yeah.
We're on
Boom. Oh, yeah. We have to plug that right now. Check out, if you're not listening on iTunes already, if you're listening on our SoundCloud. Actual Twitter or Podomatic or SoundCloud or whatever, Search us up on iTunes, A1 and the A10. Subscribe to us. And while you're at that, get us on Twitter. That's at A1 and the A10 on Twitter. We're blowing that up whenever we can, especially on show days. And we're always bringing you, I guess, behind-the-scenes content if you actually want to see that. I mean, there's not much to see. It's just five dudes huddled around a soundboard. But
eating pizza rolls, drinking Mountain Dew.
A ton of pizza rolls. There's always Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew lowers testosterone.
Matt, Feinauer, you're never going to have kids. You and Gore, between you two, you will have so many not kids.
Well, yeah, me and Gore tried to have kids. I don't think it would work anyway.
That is true. Stranger things have happened. Anatomically impossible for those listening.
We could try. We'll try harder.
Are you assuming gender?
Oh. That's true.
Big trouble with commitment, by the way.
Yeah,
we're college kids.
Getting us commitment. To try to do this every week
The only reason that this really came up that we decided to do it today was because it's actually Monday, and we're trying to keep somewhat consistent with keeping the show up on recorded Mondays, up Wednesdays. And at the same time, we yelled podcast assemble, and I mean, that's kind of the
issue. We had to do it from there on out. So.
When Nick sent us the text that said, be there in 40 minutes, I mean, you can't just say, oh, okay, well, Nick's going to be here. We can just watch the game tonight. We can just go to bed. If Nick's actually in Mount Pleasant, you got to do it.
You got to do something.
He is never in Mount Pleasant.
No.
Ever.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that, but
hey, you know, it's
duty calls.
It's when the prodigal son returns back to A10, it's always a welcome sight.
So, I guess I need some input over here.
Wow. Okay.
We're not really diving in deep.
Girl?
It's not. I guess we could talk about
friends
that,
who Tinder together stay together.
Could you like change it into a girl, whatever it is?
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think that Tinder is a reliable source for meeting
it's kind
people?
Of a lot of girls.
Yeah. No.
Yes and no.
It depends. When you say meeting people, are you meeting for the sense of hooking up, meeting for the sense of hoping to find someone to date, or hoping to find someone to be friends with? Because it has very many different layers.
I just downloaded Tinder, so, I mean, I don't use it. Matt Feinauer was kind of scrolling through it and doing a lot of X's as would I. Okay, I just scrolled on the second girl that I've seen the last half an hour, so she gets the X.
There you go. So this was actually – we're going to get back to your point on the whole is it reliable thing. This is actually one of the things that Matt and I had a big moral dilemma on, like our whole road trip back from Florida back to Michigan. The entire time, we would just kind of look at each other randomly one point and say, so do we download Tinder or not? Because we're both recently singled for the first time in a long time, and it was a tough thing to be able to actually decide. And one night I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking, I guess I might as well. I mean, they have nothing to lose.
Gives you something to do. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of fun scrolling.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I finally broke down. I think it was our first day here
night. You said, you threw your phone at me, actually. I was laying across the couch, and you said, make me a Tinder. And
yeah.
I said, oh, boy, okay.
Yeah, because you and Matt were both on it, and I'm just like, aw.
I could not have been on it long.
No. I think it was actually the same day or maybe within 2 days that Feinauer got
it.
That you caved in and said, all right, I might as well get it.
And I love it because I've sort of fixed myself. Matt has not yet. Me and Matt played it as a game.
Yeah.
It's not...
I
would
not
match.
Messaged a single girl.
Yeah,
we
would.
You're
so
yet.
Bad at this. Matt doesn't understand the point of Tinder. He matches with girls and he's like, great, swipes right on him, and then says, all right, that's about the end of the process for me.
It's a game. It's like,
I
won. I
did my part.
It's kind of exciting, like when you get the notification, like you're just scrolling around Twitter, it's like, congratulations, you have a match. You're like,
yeah,
yes,
but
success.
Mine always seems to be, it's that one girl I swiped right on, but like hesitantly, and it's like, it's you.
See, Nick actually brought this up earlier.
You
he said,
came back.
It was either Nick or I think it was Feinauer, and they said, I wish there was like a hesitant left, where it's like, I'm not sure, but like, I don't want to say completely no yet, but I want more of a maybe.
Yeah.
See, that'd be a perfect option.
Yeah,
like, come back
to me
20 later.
Minutes. See
exactly.
Who I... Don't find. Maybe I might give you the right.
A1 and the A10 is officially sponsored by Tinder.
No.
Not official.
Tinder,
no,
not a fan of the show.
Okay, I'd like to change our direction here.
All right. Because Gore can't really relate to this
topic.
We were
in a great direction.
I know we're not the biggest NFL gurus.
What?
But
I think collectively.
We know a decent amount of about football. And what the Tennessee Titans are trying to do this year is bring back the run game. We've seen a couple teams attempt to do it, but they still pass a decent amount. Like
I believe
Seahawks.
The Houston Texans are doing it,
and
too.
And the Titans, however, drafted Derrick Henry and
a machine,
traded
by the way.
For DeMarco Murray. even though they drafted Marcus Mariota, so now instead of featuring their quarterback and building a team in today's game where it's passing, they decided to go a different direction and they're going to try to pound the ball. I was wondering what you guys felt about that.
I think at this point in time, based on Mariota's actual skills and his lack of at least experience in the NFL, it's good to be able to have more of a mix, if not more of a rush-oriented mix, just until he's actually finally, you know, set into the culture of the National Football
League.
Takes
a lot of stress off of a young quarterback to not
have to
throw it 75% of the time.
A lot of Eagles fans are upset that Carson Wentz is going to be the starter in Game 1. A lot of people are saying it's kind of that culture of, oh, we drafted him as our number one pick, so therefore we have to start him. I think for something like that, such a big take, and someone who is so talented as Wentz is, but from such a different level of football, it's not a bad idea to let them ride the pine for a single year just to get them that experience. Now, granted, it may be a throwaway year, especially if your backup was, no longer is, Sam Bradford. It's a tough decision. You want to say, we want to go to what's going to work now. But if it's going to be that valuable experience that a quarterback needs so that they can excel at this level long-term rather than have short-found success immediately, a la Robert Griffin III.
A la.
Yeah. I think that's going
to
be...
Let's be honest. The Eagles aren't going to go to the playoffs either way. So give the guy the experience, I guess, for the first year.
But do you want to break him?
See, I think that the Titans are making a great move because if you look at a lot of the teams with recent success, I mean, you know, the Seahawks did it back a few years ago of just busting it with Marshawn Lynch. You had a mobile quarterback, much like, you know, the Titans have. However, I can't necessarily compare Russell Wilson and Marcus Mariota or Marshawn Lynch to... You know, Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray's shown that he can be an elite running back.
With the right tangibles.
Right, absolutely. But, like the year that DeMarco Murray had on the Cowboys with Tony Romo, that team was a great team that, because they had such a great offensive line and was able to run the ball, they didn't have to rely on Tony Romo. And he's not a guy that is going to take you to the Super Bowl on his shoulders. So, by taking...
break.
Fair enough.
Or his shoulder, or anything.
Taking that pressure off of Mariota in his first couple of years and giving the chance, you know, for to possibly change the scope of the NFL, I think it's incredibly bold. However, I do think it's a smart move that will end up paying off for them.
Do you think, is DeMarco Murray up for a breakout season, not hitting 1,000 yards last year after an 1,800-yard season? What are we thinking? Is he actually going to break the 1,000 mark or what?
It's possible. He will not even have close to his 1,800-yard season ever.
That's again. A once-in-a-career
like 600 carries. That was an incredible amount of carries.
Yeah. As soon as people became aware that he can do it, it became so much harder for him to ever be able to do it again. So I think you can expect him to get over 1,000 yards eventually, maybe not even this year. But
how many times did he touch the ball in 2014? 392 attempts. And he only had 193 in 2015, so that's like a third less than what he had, or half less. I'm not a math major, everybody.
None of us are. We're all public school boys here.
Amen.
Another topic I want to bring up, same thing about football.
Okay.
Is most people, most teams, most general managers, in the early rounds of drafts, go for the skill players, like your wide receivers, and now even running backs, because you have like Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley. But what about the teams that are at the 6th, 7th pick when it's not sure if they're going to turn out to be somebody? Like, look at the Browns lately. They haven't been the worst team in the league, but they've been the worst team in the league.
Yeah. Well,
and every year it seems like they draft a skill guy, whether it's a linebacker or a running back or a wide receiver, but they're never drafting – offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Hey, the game's won in the trenches.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk to anybody. Your offensive and defensive lines are your most important components on the field, which is, you know, very telling because a lot of fans are only interested in your skill players. You know, nobody sits there and thinks,
oh, what an offensive lineman he is. He's
right.
Killing it.
Yeah, because, you know, and for your offensive linemen, the best ones are often the most unknown.
Yeah.
Because when you get called out as an offensive lineman, it's because of your mistakes.
Yes.
You can do 100 things
like
right.
Refs, like punters.
Absolutely. You can do 100 things right, and nobody will give you any credit for it. But the moment you let a guy get by you, quarterback gets sacked, fumbled, it's all on you. So, you know, building a solid foundation up front is the basis for a good team. You can look at the New England Patriots for that. You know, they take guys who, at the end of the day, are a bunch of nobodies and turn them into, you know, a Super Bowl contending team each and every year. The Seattle Seahawks have 46 guys on their roster, I believe, that were undrafted free agents. That's absolutely unheard of because, you know, it just shows that it doesn't matter where you come from, but if you can perform, hey, somebody will be there to take you. So,
well, a certain name that should definitely come to mind when talking flash in the pan kind of draft picks and especially bad draft picks that don't work out, especially for us here in Michigan, is Matt Millen. Nobody took more wide receivers. Nobody took more skill players than Matt Millen. And how did that work out for him?
Did he take Calvin?
I don't think so. I think that was the year.
Yeah.
After.
Either way, with his picks,
like, oh, good.
I mean, there's always that around Lions Twitter. People are always saying, Lions wide receiver draft pick since 2008. Bunch of no names, bunch of guys working in accounting offices right now. And the only team to ever go 0-16 in the NFL is one of those teams that always went for skill players. Now, the thing that I've really liked, especially Lions-centric right now, about the draft the last couple of years, is how the Lions are using those early round picks, those big picks, and not going for sexy players. They're going for guys that have had phenomenal careers in college, being those big heifers up front, being the big cows that are going to help you get that pay dirt with your running back. Now, granted, the running back situation is still a bit up in the air, and it has been ever since, I don't know, maybe Kevin Smith days. And even since then, if you don't have an offensive line, how are you going to be able to run the ball? How are you going to be able to pass the ball? I brought up this stat to Nick earlier. I said, I was talking to Feinauer. I said, people always get this one so confused. They say, Stafford isn't a good quarterback because he's always under pressure. He's always throwing the ball away. He's always getting it picked off. But it's hard to be able to set yourself up in the pocket when you don't have time to actually sustain yourself in the pocket. Only two quarterbacks have been sacked more than Matt Stafford over the last 2 years. Now you tell me, you get the ball, and immediately you have guys rushing right towards you. How are you going to be able to have that time to get your looks downfield, to be able to have those plays develop, those post routes, those different routes, especially for deeper plays? The shorter plays, okay, maybe you'll be able to get your quick hook pass out there real quick, but it's hard to be able to do anything without an offensive line. And the same goes for defensive line. And for a while there, the Lions, of course, were that big team that everyone said, you don't want to play the Lions because their defensive line will eat you up. Everyone wants a great corner. Everyone wants a great wide receiver. But if you don't have a line on both sides, you're going to get killed.
So is drafting an offensive lineman in the first round as the Lions did, is that a safe pick?
They're already saying Taylor Decker's the best lineman on the team. And he's a rookie.
Not hard to do, though. For this Lions
really
roster.
Really not the hard, no.
Well, I mean, overall, generalizing offensive linemen taken in the first round.
It was
is that like
for
a
the
safe
Lions
because
they had their skill positions. I mean, where they were, they were a late first-round pick. They weren't going to get a great skills player anyway. So I think what they did was smart. And
see, I would consider it safe unless you have one of those top five picks that you know is essentially a can't-miss prospect.
That's where I'd like to bring up the Raiders, because the Raiders arguably have the second-best offensive line in the league, and they're up and coming this year. They have a chance to do something, at least make the playoffs, because they've been awful ever since they drafted a whole bunch of speedsters.
Who's their quarterback? Is it Carr?
Derek Carr,
Latavius
Amari
Murray.
Cooper.
Yeah, they drafted their skill players when they knew that they were – They had high floors where it was like Amari Cooper at least is going to be a somebody in the league. He might not end up being a superstar like a Kelvin Johnson or a Randy Moss, because those are far and in between. But he's going to be a guy that's going to go out there and he's going to contribute to the team in a big way. But when those guys weren't there, they drafted the offensive linemen. And now they're a competitive team because they have that offensive line where they can
protect their quarterback in Derek Carr. If you put Matthew Stafford behind that offensive line or the Cowboys' offensive line...
Oh, forget about it.
With that arm talent, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, no. No, I've liked Stafford. I still like Stafford, even when... Especially everyone in my family turned on him, which would make you think I would just turn on him because I was tired of being course. Shit on. Like, how can you like Stafford? It's just, I don't know. I've liked him ever since we got him. I was like, he's 27.
Oh, God.
It's just so even hard. At 27, like, it's getting old hearing he still has the potential because he's on his, like, seventh year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does. Like, as soon as he gets that line, it's going to be dangerous.
Well, just remember what he did, and I brought this up again earlier. Remember what he did that second half of last season? The Lions looked unstoppable. Now, granted, it was garbage time. They had really nothing to play for. They were, 1-7 going into the halfway point of the season? So anything they did, everyone would say, oh, well, that's better than what we did the first half. But when Jim Bob Cooter simplified the offense, when they centered it around Stafford's ability to work with minimal plays and make maximum potential out of them, the offense clicked. Everything seemed to be going right for them, and they didn't go perfect in the second half, but they looked a hell of a lot better than they did that first half. And like I said, obviously it's going to be easy to say that considering, well, when you win one game in your first 8 games, it's going to be hard to do much worse than that. But if they can bring that same intensity coming into the beginning of this season, it's going to be something to watch.
And then it brings it back to, because someone mentioned Stafford has trouble learning a complicated playbook. I don't think you can blame it all on Joe Lombardi, but they said he had a very complicated playbook, and he was actually noted saying that Stafford kind of held it back a little bit because he just couldn't learn the plays quick enough. But like as soon as they simplified it with Jim Bob Cooter, everything just ran so much smoother. I was like, you don't really need that complicated or wide of a playbook.
Yeah.
What a terrible name.
See, I think it's phenomenally bad.
Mr. Cooter.
Oh, Mr. Cooter. Jim Bob. So is that your first name or first to middle name? First names? What are we doing here?
He can go the cool way and go J.B. Cooter.
He's James Robert Cooter. Think about that.
James Robert Cooter. It's sophisticated yet playful.
It's a mullet. It's the mullet of
oh
names.
Oh, my God, yes.
Business in the front end. Party at the back end.
Jim Bob
perfect.
Cooter. Fan of the show.
While we're on the topic of Detroit sports, bring up another topic that's been a little bit in the talks, but, I mean, he's not towards the end of his career. Another Detroit player, Miguel Cabrera.
Ooh.
Can he be the greatest hitter of all time?
No.
Why?
Well, because, I mean, although he's got a stellar career average, you know, he's hit for power his entire career.
Triple crown.
He's got the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it kind of depends on where you want to go with best hitter. Because, yeah, you could look at somebody like Pete Rose, who, you know, played for an incredibly long time and was able to become the hit king mostly because he was a player manager and put himself in the games. Or do you look at somebody who, you know, like a Babe Ruth, who, although times are incredibly different, you know, is up and over 700 home runs. You know, Miguel Cabrera, albeit is not the greatest when you look in terms of career average or career home runs, he's stellar in both departments, just not the greatest of all
time. See, that's where I've done a little research when I had a topic in my class before about it. And if Miguel Cabrera plays until he's 42, which is possible with the DH in the American League, he will, 42 or 43, depending on if he stays with the home runs, he will be the leader in home runs.
I mean, you see, like, David Ortiz, past 40, he's still hitting 30, 40 home runs a year. So, I mean, it's possible.
With the season he's having, and I get why he's finished, but this is one of the best seasons that he's ever had, and it might be because he's trying to close out on an absolute high note, but...
Yeah, I mean, you also have to take into consideration that the short porch in right field, you have a 5-foot wall at most in right field.
Yep.
It's like Yankee Stadium, too. I mean, that's just a home run hitter's paradise.
I can hit a home run at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, are numbers kind of skewed that way? I don't know. That's everyone's different opinion, but...
So what do you think? Do you think Miguel Cabrera could be the greatest of all time?
You know, I think he's going to hit 300 for the rest of his career. I think he's going to hit over 300. He's going to have 20 home runs. Greatest hitter of all time, no. Greatest hitter of this era, debatable.
Who would
greatest
you have above
hitter,
him?
What was that?
Who would you have above him in this era?
It's hard right now because Mike Trout is
high ceiling.
Yeah, Bryce Harper too, if he can get his head out of.
That's a clown question, bro.
Yeah, clown question, but
fumble.
I think Cabrera is certainly leading. Oh, Derek Jeter too, probably best all around player.
Mr. Consistent.
Yeah, I think Mike Trout will go down as probably one of the best all-around hitters, offensively and defensively. He makes highlight plays every single time he's out there, steals bases, hits home runs, drives batters in, hits over 300. I mean, I think he's like the perfect player you could have on a team. Get Bryce Harper in Yankee Stadium, though. Get him in a Yankees uniform. Man. He's going to hit 50 home runs. Guarantee you.
So
he's
going to hit 50.
Also, I'd like to point out that Miguel Cabrera in his career has played in the two biggest ballparks in this era, in Miami Marlins
that is true.
Park
yeah.
and Comerica
That's
Park.
That's harsh.
He played in a football stadium and a pitcher's stadium. I mean, you can't hit a home run to left field. What is it?
Oh, he can.
Yeah. Well, what is it to left field?
I remember when they made Comerica Park, and it was like 350 down the line. It was like 400 to left center.
Well, wasn't it the bullpens were put in later? And
yeah,
it
the bullpens
should've...
were put in later.
That's
like 2
nuts.
Years after, because they realized that no one can hit a home run to left field.
Ugh.
Okay, now that raises an interesting question that I've actually thought about a lot. You are between owner and architect. So you are the owner of a baseball team, we'll use in this example, but you also get to design the stadium. Tell me what your stadium's looking like. Field dimensions, the stadium around itself. What are we looking at? Do you want a hitter's ballpark like a Yankee Stadium, or do you want a pitcher's ballpark like old Copa?
It's hard because you have like Colorado, the ball flies there. I don't know what their dimensions are. But then, like Gore said,
very big.
Yeah.
Very big dimensions, doesn't matter.
Mile high.
So, I mean, if Detroit had the elevation that Colorado did, would numbers be different? I'd say so.
Yeah.
What if Yankee Stadium was in a higher elevation?
Stop. even a single could have a chance of being a home run.
Really? I mean, as far as how I would design a stadium, would you want to bring fans in? You know, a lot of fans like pitchers' duels, I can respect it.
See,
but
if I'm designing a park, I am 100% creating a hitters-friendly park because runs put people in the seats.
Yeah. Right.
Because your average fan, I mean, most of the time, people who go to baseball games are going for a good family environment to go enjoy a night out. They want to have a good game to sit and watch. You know, the baseball fan wants to go watch a 3-2 pitcher's duel that is sound all the way through. Everybody else just wants to see the ball leave the park and get
Chicks
excited.
Dig the long ball.
You know, and I don't think everybody that goes to a major or minor league baseball game are that familiar with baseball as a whole like most of us are. So, yeah, I mean, they know what a home run is, so whoever can hit it the furthest, that's what keeps them coming back. Whatever free agent pitcher wants to go to Colorado is out of their mind, but that's a different story for a different day. I mean, if I was a hitter, I'm going to Colorado.
Absolutely. I mean, look at what DJ LeMahieu has been able to do since, you know, he's broken out. He's tied for the National League lead in
Arenado.
Arenado.
LeMahieu is legit too. He's legit too.
And they got Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, that
Cargo.
Beard though. Charlie Blackman's beard.
If he could ever stay healthy.
Trevor Story.
If he could ever stay healthy.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. Dude's the Tony Romo of injuries of baseball. It's time to fulfill what was teased in last week's episode. And I'll simply tease it as depleting the Dakota separation. The definitive argument of if North and South Dakota should be one state or not. First off, before we really dive into this topic, go around the room. What are some ideas? What are some feelings on this idea?
Maybe tourism? Do people go to the Dakotas other than Mount Rushmore?
See, that's a big negative, Ghost Rider.
I'm not really familiar with the Dakotas, and I don't think people who don't live in the Dakotas are very familiar with the Dakotas too, but I'm all for it. You know, I'm up for some change in the state mapping, if you will.
And if Hawaii disappears.
I think South Dakota should be called Dakota, and everyone leave North Dakota because it's a piece of shit.
So what do we do
with... It's just a blank space.
What do we do with North Dakota?
There's nothing there. It's not even the best Dakota. It's such a shitty state.
You feel very passionately about
this. I don't know why. Just
this is like the core shit.
I guess I can't say. That'd be a great birthday present. Yeah. Like, is Canada's, like,
just
like big
Canada?
Anniversary coming up?
Yeah, you just get to be dead center of our country.
Yeah.
Go, guys.
So, like, well, it's right there for them. I mean, it connects to Manitoba perfectly. But it would be kind of split between Manitoba and Alberta.
Manitoba, clutch name of Canada, man.
Right?
Anyway, yeah, South Dakota should be called Dakota, and North Dakota is just a... We should blow it up.
So
if we don't give it to Canada, we just make a crater.
Gore, what are your thoughts on making North and South Dakota just one big Dakota?
My thoughts are we add Puerto Rico, and then we combine the two,
yep.
And look how much better we'll be at baseball in the Olympics, because baseball's coming back.
Let's just add the Dominican Republic, too, right? Cuba, let's everyone join the United States.
Nick, the way you're wearing your headset was interesting, but it worked perfectly.
It was messing up my hair.
It was incredibly effective.
So we're going to give a – oh, man, I made the rookie mistake. Phone on the table on vibrate.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a bit of a backstory on North and South Dakota, just for reference points so we know where to work off of. The territory of the Dakotas split in 1889 because of a controversy, no H in there, on the location of the capital. North Dakota's being Bismarck, South Dakota's being Pierre. November of that same year, North and South Dakota were both added into the Union as the 39th and 40th states. Great move for a country that's still trying to develop itself and in the late 1800s, still trying to come across as one of the world powers. Now that we're in a time here in the, well, middle part of the early 2000s, something like the matter of a state's capital seems trivial, especially when you consider how big both of these states are. North Dakota is 70,762 square miles. There are just 739,000 some people in that state. South Dakota, 77,000 miles with 853,000 some odd people. Just to further reference that, the city of Detroit is just a hair under 150 square miles, has 688,000 people in it, which is about 80% of the population of South Dakota, living in an area that is 0.1% the size of the state. Now, the combination of the states would help the population of a superstate. It would give it something a little more rational to work off. If you have actually over a million people, and I think you'd have about 1.5 million people with the one Dakota, which would be, you know, bigger cities in Dakota, more of the capital, more of tourist kind of cities. It would be 10% bigger in terms of space, in terms of mileage, than Minnesota, which right next door to it, and just a slightly smaller population than Minnesota itself. So it's not a stretch of the imagination. And working off of that, it's easy to say, okay, well, they're right next to each other. They're both relatively, in the big hindsight of things, useless states. I mean, they don't really add anything to the world. They don't have any major contributions. They're just kind of one of those border states that just is kind of outside of the Midwest and kind of harbors Canada, especially more on the North Dakota side.
They're pushing them out.
Yeah.
Each region. No, get out of here, North Dakota.
It's the same way where you could say, okay, the UP and the LP, they could easily be different states. I mean, it'd be a little hard for the UP based on the fact that they don't really have any major industry there. For North and South Dakota, it makes a lot of sense for them to become one state. We've talked about the size of Dakota. They're both humongous with almost nobody in them. They hold, both of them, just 6 total electoral college votes. Humongous states with 3 electoral college votes each. So nobody cares about them. Politically, socially, I mean, anything like that. So the elections, they have as many electoral college votes as Wyoming and Vermont, less than New Hampshire and less than Maine. These are states that are pretty much the size of one city inside of the Dakotas. Mm. Now, obviously, that doesn't help with the size of the states population-wise. So if you had them as one state, it would at least have 6 electoral college votes for one state, which would make it at least a little bit more of a political battleground, at least in the sense of we want to go there because we want to make sure that we get those votes. Both states have a Republican voting majority in the two states and state politics, and after the term would end, it would be super easy. Just vote your Congress, vote your governor in. They have the same kind of industry, the same kind of idealisms as in terms of economy, in terms of politics. And one of the things that I really use as my main argument for this was the idea that if you finally have a state like Dakota perfectly placed next to Canada with actually respectable kind of population, you're opening the door for pro sports to finally be able to come in there. And most notably, especially as we talked about, it's neighboring with Alberta and with Manitoba. That's a perfect gateway state for the NHL between Canada and between the United States. Now, it's one of the 24 states in the country that does not have a major sports team. Plenty of collegiate sports. I mean, North Dakota State, fantastic at football. I mean,
Carson Wentz, shout out to him.
I mean, South Dakota State, they're holding in there. I don't remember who they were playing this weekend, but they were holding their own. And everyone knows it comes to college hockey time.
UND.
You're not messing with the nameless UND hockey program. So, I mean, just based on all things considered, the fact that you can finally put a pro sports team there, the fact that economically their industry is the same, their politics are the same. Across the board, they vote the same, they work the same, they have the same idealisms. You'd be able to have their colleges actually move up to the D1 level based on how many athletes you'd be able to retain from both states who would not leave their states. The fact of everything that you have, I don't see why you don't combine these two states.
Drop the mic on that one, Sean.
I would, but I'm wearing a headset mic, and it makes it a little bit harder.
That was a mouthful. You said a lot there.
You know, I like the argument about the NHL.
This is a very passionate topic for Sean.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we touched on it a lot our freshman year. One argument that kept reoccurring. And, you know, it's just come to full fruition that now there is an entire paper out there.
Somewhere.
Specifically on this topic that, you know, if it were to be graded, you know, with some grammatical improvements, roughly got about, you know, I'd say maybe a 90%.
90 is a good score. It's passing.
See, you know, and that's kind of how I
barely
felt. You know, obviously, you know, the argument's taken a few twists and turns through the time, but altogether, I mean, I'm on board. I think Justin made a good point. My idea as well is to bring in Puerto Rico to the United States because
they're a territory, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
So what's the route for a territory to become a state?
It can't be that hard. I mean, they're pretty much
50
provinced by the United States for all intents and purposes.
37 other territories came together to join.
True.
You know,
will we see that in our lifetime?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact process for, you know, I think that you have to reach a certain level of population and you have to have a certain GDP that, you know, you can, you know, have a stable economy.
Aren't the baseball players they produce enough?
See, I think so.
There's your national, that's what you're giving to the country.
That's fair.
I mean, I'm on board. I mean, I think we should, you know, really bring this up to the legislature in, you know, North and South Dakota because, you know,
do they really,
you know,
matter?
This is a good reminder for the kids listening to our podcast.
Yes,
because
we're all about the children here, of course. Hell yeah.
If you have, you know, if you have a question, comment, or concern that needs to be brought up to your local legislators, you know, write your representative.
And they will throw it away.
Yeah. They won't.
Because we hate kids.
They will look at it
and think, who the hell is this kid? Who doesn't
Debbie
vote for
Stabenow.
Me? Okay.
Who's our representative?
I think Stabenow and I think Kildee. Kildee and Stabenow, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly what we'll get if Hillary's elected.
Are we bringing up the political debate once again?
Uh-oh.
Now, another thing that I brought up in a very heated, passionate, and kind of overall useless argument to Matt via text one day, I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what kind of pisses me off a little bit?
Talking about me?
No, you're fine, Hour. You're fine, Hour. Hawaii is, for all intents and purposes, six territories that are kind of just absolved into one state, and that's kind of annoying.
I mean,
it's very minor, but they couldn't survive on their own.
Michigan's two territories and one state.
Right, but at least they're connected, even if they're not connected to each other.
To 47 other states.
Yeah.
Well, what about, you know, all of the islands up in Alaska that are technically Alaska?
But
however, is it different because Alaska's got the one central
Alaska
body?
Doesn't need the islands, is my thing.
Hawaii is an island.
Hawaii is the islands.
State is an island.
multiple islands, but there is a main island. I think that's why.
Yeah. The only problem with Hawaii is it's not a state because we wanted it to be a state because we're like, oh, it's connected to the U.S., shares our cultures and everything. It's completely a socio-political battleground that helped us out when we really needed it with international travel, seaports.
We got pineapples out of the deal.
We got pineapples. We have Hawaiian no longer Rainbow Warriors football and no longer the Pro Bowl.
I actually wrote a paper about this in high school about – about the, I guess, the formation of Hawaii, per se. I believe her name is Queen Liliuokalani. Yep. And, do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
She was basically overthrown by the Dole family, which is where we get our bananas.
Dole whips.
So every time that you're eating a banana or a pineapple from the Dole.
You're supporting murdering of queens.
You know, basically. So, you know, take that into consideration.
Their fruit's good.
Yeah, fruit is good. We like Hawaii for fruit.
So our overall consensus, keep Hawaii because fruit. I dig it.
Although I've never had a better pineapple than the pineapple I had in Costa Rica.
Let's just add
Costa
Rica.
Where was the best
peach
you ever had?
So.
Hey, South Carolina, side of the road strip club.
Sometimes you can't have a Georgia peach, but sometimes you'll see a sign on the side of the road that says, peaches a mile ahead. You'll go a mile ahead, you'll turn left, and there you are, Velvet Touch of South Carolina, right on the border, family of all overalls, no shirts, and no teeth. We'll be saying $1 for a peach, and we will buy 2 peaches, and they will
God,
be juicy.
They were stellar peaches right there at the foot of strip club.
Yep, right between Georgia and South Carolina, because nothing says a border state, or at least the border between two states, like a strip club.
Right?
And, of course, where else would you go to buy fruit or produce or anything like that? A grocery store?
No, I mean,
get out of here. Come on.
I mean, we got real southern peaches.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not buying it from a toothless, overall-wearing, for all intents and purposes, hick, you're not really buying a peach.
You know, in some, it's arguable that the best products come from toothless, hillbilly, overall-wearing men. Or women, for the most part. I'm not going to assume genders over here.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because I was telling the boys of A10 earlier, we had a big fire at the Bednard House just over this past weekend, and the people that cut down the trees were toothless, overall-wearing hillbillies. They are the local garbage pickers in the Flint area. They come around, they go through your garbage, and if they find anything useful, they're going to take it. Well, it turns out one of our neighbors actually made friends with them, because he takes their stuff, or they take his stuff, and he gives it to them. They eventually got to talking. He wanted a pine tree cut down. They cut it down. Good old dad was outside and said, you know what? I think I need a tree cut down. And a couple hours later, we have no trees in our backyard. Well, at least fewer trees, and we have a giant big old fire. So I think along with minor league baseball, deep fried foods, and mall Santas, toothless hillbillies wearing overalls are the backbone of America.
That may have been the greatest soundbite we've had on this show today.
I think we just end it.
That take in itself is gold.
If there's a peak, we have now officially reached it.
There's no way we go higher.
All right, everybody, episode 2.
Wait,
and
we can't
get any better.
We
so
have to
we
end
quit.
With the it's the usual really closing thoughts. We'll start counterclockwise. Or clockwise, starting with Gore, because Gore has been way too active with his mouth this episode. So, Gore, closing thoughts to end the night.
What that mouth do? Eat ranch is what it does.
Closing thoughts. Ranch is good. FanDuel is better than DraftKings.
Preach. Bold statement.
Justin Gore off the mic. Nick Peel, closing thoughts for the night.
Ranch is repulsive. DraftKings is not better than FanDuel. And Brad Tunney, I'll see you on Wednesday.
Boom. Drop the mic. Fine hour. Closing thoughts for tonight's episode.
North Dakota should not be a state.
Fine hour's done. Matt, final thoughts on the night.
You know, I think my best and final thought of the night is that I'm just happy that Nick Peel's home.
Yeah, that's completely, entirely, 100% fair.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll see Nick in a week when he's here to record the next episode of A1 of the A10, as per apartment rules. Closing thoughts for the night. Labor Day is kind of an ironic holiday because on Labor Day, you don't work. You don't do labor. So as a belated little Labor Day from our family to yours here in the A10, happy Wednesday after Labor Day. May your labor be productive, and may your labor be productive. See, there's two different types of labor. There's work, and there's pregnancy. May they both be productive. Good night, everybody, or good morning, depending on when you're listening to this, and we'll see you next Monday.